Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress. What's up, Jacksonville? This is Poetess Black Jewel, and I am here to share some exciting news about what's going on at Truth and Love Ministries, located at 1989 Dunn Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida, 32218. Now listen, we want you to save the date, Saturday, May 11th, 2019, for the official launch of Her Story, an empowering women's organization founded by our very own Pastor Camilla Nesbitt. The event will be held at Friday Musicale, located at 645 Oak Street, Jacksonville, Florida, 32204. VIP admission includes dinner and a show. That's right, a show. Prepare to laugh, prepare to cry, prepare to be enlightened, prepare to be inspired, prepare to be empowered, prepare to change. As we debut a powerful and moving stage play titled Her Story, Breaking the Cycle. VIP dinner will be served at 6 p.m. Tickets are $45. General admission and show only is $35. Showtime is 7 p.m. Seating is limited. Tickets are on sale now. Visit us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax or email herstory.til@gmail.com to purchase. You don't want to miss this exciting event, so ladies, grab your girls. Fellas, grab your wife, your daughter, your sister, or that special lady in your life and bring her to Her Story for dinner and a show. This is even a great gift for Mother's Day. Stay in the know for more important updates. Subscribe to Her Story. Simply text Her Story as one word with no special characters to 904-245-1089. Get connected, stay connected. Her Story, Breaking the Cycle, Saturday, May 11th, 2019 at 6 p.m. Save the date. This is a Her Story and In His Image production.
St. Luke chapter 13, one verse, verse 7 from the God's Word translation. You have it? Amen. Amen. He said to the gardener, for the last 3 years, I've come to look for figs on this fig tree, but haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up not any kind of soil, but good soil? Say amen to the reading of God's word. This afternoon, this is our sixth and final installment of Ready for My Next series. This afternoon, I just want to simply ask you a question. In our year of maturation, did you mature? Did you mature? Father, we thank you for your word. The flower fades, the grass withers, but God, it is your word that will stand the test of time. We're grateful and we're appreciative for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. You are our source and you're our strength. We ask you now, God, to speak to your people. As we've gathered together, God, this last Sunday of 2018, we pray, God, that you will rid us of every distraction, every hindrance, anything that's designed to stop and to block your word from having a free course. Speak to your people this afternoon. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. We're listening. We're waiting. We're anticipating for what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Almighty God. Do me one more favor. Let's welcome everyone that's watching online. Amen. Let's thank God for everyone watching Facebook. Come on, do me a favor and find our Facebook page. Find our Facebook page and like it and share our Facebook live. That would be a great blessing if you would do that. The more times we share it, that's the more people that get an opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. And one other thing I'm going to say before I dive into the word, y'all going to have to give me back my blue cards. You're going to have to give me back my blue cards, because this is only the second time this year we don't have any first-time visitors. You ought to say, oh, yeah, that's how y'all to feel about it. Say, oh, well, we do got a first, somebody done told on somebody. We do got a first time visitor back there. Mama pointed out. All right, we got a first time. All right, put your hands together. We got one over there. I'll sleep better tonight, then. I'll sleep better. I was about to say, I need a refund on all of them. I need a refund on all them little blue cars. Y'all got to just riding them around. It's not your passenger in your vehicle. No, you need to pass them out. You know, you ain't got to talk to nobody. Just hand it to them in the drive-thru and just run as fast as you can. Just hand it to somebody. In our year of maturation, did you mature? Did you mature? I believe it's appropriate for us to finish the year the same way that we started the year. And this particular passage of scripture is a passage of scripture that God placed on my heart the first Sunday of this year. And I believe that it's still it's appropriate, and we can make application this afternoon in our lives as we look back in our rearview mirror, which is called 2018, and ask ourselves the question, did we mature? I've been prepping you. I've been really trying to condition your mind to let you know that just because we're getting ready to turn the calendar, we're getting ready to go from 2018 to 2019, there's no magic in that. There's no abracadabra in that. There's nothing that's going to be so supernatural about us going from one day to a next. But here, I love what this anonymous writer said. He says that counting time is not nearly as important as making time count. You and I, we can count time. We can talk about January, talk about June, talk about November and December, and that's counting time. But our responsibility as being the people of God is not just to count time and count weeks and count months, but it is for us to make our time count. William Penn said that time is what we want the most of, but is what we use the worst. Time is what we want the most of, but time is what we waste the most. And in our year of maturation, I want to ask you, when you look back over your life and you see all the things that you've gone through and all the things that God has allowed you to undertake in this 2018, did you mature? Did you grow up in any area of your life? Let me give it to you one more time for the final time this year. Maturation, the action or the process of what? Maturing. The emergence of personal and behavioral characteristics through, here it is, the process of growth. The process of growth. The process of growth. In order for us to grow, there will be a process. There has to be a process. And really, in a real sense, there are some growing pains. There's some growing pains. For you to go from one level to another, for you to go to one dimension to another, for you to go to one realm to another, for you to go to one stage to another, there is a process that you and I have to go through. And a lot of people don't mind going from level to level or from stage to stage. A lot of individuals just don't like the process. The process is something that even in the definition in and of itself, it shows or has a connotation that there's going to be some work. In the definition itself, maturation, it shows that there's going to be some work. It's a process, the emergence of personal. A lot of us can look at other folk life and see how they need to mature. A lot of us can look at other folk lives and see what they need to do and how they ought to do it. But maturation is not about me pointing my finger at you. Did you know whenever you point your finger at someone, you got three of the fingers pointed back at the real culprit, and then you got the thumb that's pointing up at the real judge. Come on, let me tell you. When you pointing your finger at somebody, three of them is pointing at the real culprit as you're pointing your finger and saying what this person not doing and what they're not doing. You got three of them pointing back at you saying, well, what aren't you doing? And then the thumb is pointing up at the one that knows everything. anybody want to be honest? I know I have. I went to my prayer closet about my wife before, especially early on in marriage when we were learning one another. And I was like, my God, I go in my closet and I'm mad. I'm hot as fish grease with her. And I'm upset and I'm mad. And I'm saying, I go in my prayer closet and say, God, you got to change her. God, why is she like this? Why is she doing this? Why is she doing that? And just it's something about the Holy Spirit. When you got the Holy Spirit for real, he will remind you, or something will just kind of flash over your face or in your spirit, and you'll see yourself. And then I'll be like, never mind, God, I was just playing. She old girl ain't all that bad after all. After he reminds me of all of my shortcomings and remind me of all the things that I did, or the reason why she is how she is because of me, here it is, the real culprit. The three fingers are coming back and the one is pointing up with God. But maturation is something that I must personally do. My behavior, how I do what I do, not what I look like, but how I do what I do, what makes me tick, what makes me go, what literally makes me be a child of God and a believer. Jesus spoke to this. He spoke to this in this St. Luke chapter 13. And as I told you, this is the same verses of scripture that I gave you before. But I told on Miss Rains and Miss Lynn, I said that they go to Captain D's every Sunday after church. Every Sunday. They haven't got tired of the captain yet. So I know you can't get tired of these scriptures. Come on, somebody. We eat chicken every Sunday. But here, can I tell you that there's some more meat on these bones here. There's some more meat. They asked Jesus a question. And Jesus responded to their question by telling them a story about a fig tree. And so I want to talk about the fig tree this morning. I want to talk about the fig tree. The first thing about the fig tree is we see the privilege of being planted. The privilege of being planted. As we talk about this fig tree, we see the privilege. Somebody say privilege. The privilege of being planted. It's right here in St. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. Look at it. It says, and he told this parable. Parable is just simply a story that goes alongside. Jesus would give them a spiritual truth, and then he would give them a natural story alongside the spiritual truth to help them to be able to understand the spiritual truth. Here, that's all that is. A parable is just simply something to go alongside with. It's literally an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. That's all the parable is. And Jesus was a parabolic teacher. He told parables. He told stories. He illustrated. He'll be standing outside and he'll say, look up in the air, look at the birds and look at the flowers. He would just use whatever it is that he needed to use in order to get his point across. And here, that's the purpose of us coming together first and foremost in the house of God, is not just for me to put time on the books. It's not just for me to say, oh, I came, or not just for me to say, oh, I go to church. No. The purpose of us coming is that whenever it is that you leave, you ought to leave out those doors better than where you came. You ought to leave out of those doors with more than what you had before. You have to understand, and I have to understand, that God is designed in his communication with us. God is designed through his word. Hear me good. His word is supposed to move us. His word is supposed to push us. His word is supposed to take us from where we are to where he designs for us to go. And that's why Jesus used parables, because he didn't want to be talking over their head. He didn't, for those that were hungry, for those that thirst. Now, for those religious folk, those ones that thought they had it all figured out, for those that thought they didn't need any deliverance, Jesus said, if you would just admit that you were a sinner, then you could be saved. If you'll just admit that I can help you, that you needed help, then you'll receive help. But for those that were hungry and those that are thirsty, God, he revealed his word to them. That's why we can have people in the same church. You can be sitting on the same row with somebody else, and somebody will walk out of here and say, boy, that was the best message I ever heard in my life. He was like he was in my house. I'm going to start charging him rent because he's been all up in my house. It's like he heard my conversation. It's like he heard what I was talking about. It's like he in my mind. I got to check my house. See if my house is bugged or something the way that he talked. And you can be in the same row with somebody else and they say, My God, is he going to preach another hour again today? That's what I need to know. That's what I'm trying to. You can be in the same, come on, you can be in the same church. Somebody could be worshiping and they could be broken and crying. And the person right next to them, come on here, they'd be sitting next to them and they'd be like, well, whatever, what she got on? What? Look at him. He leading another song? Look at that. What's that in his shirt? He had that on last week. I mean, come on. I mean, and that's how folk do. That's how folk are. And here, can I tell you, you got to know
when you come to the house of the Lord, you're not coming to see what nobody has on. You're not coming to be able to fellowship with your friends. Oh, no, no. But, sir, would we see Jesus? That's the reason why we come. I don't come to it would be nice if we was cool. It would be nice if we can go out and eat chicken wings every day. But just in case we don't, if you don't like me, that's cool. I sit over here. You sit over there. But I come to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I come to enter his courts with praise. I come to worship him and to adorate him and to magnify him. I come to get the word. When somebody asks me at Popeye, when somebody asks me at Captain D's, what was the message about? I don't need to say, oh, we had a good time. No, no, no. I need to be able to take something and package the word and package the message and be able to give it back to them. You come here to get fueled up. The way you can go out there and give somebody the word. You ought to say, I ain't come here for you, boo. You look real cute. I like your nice little pinstripe suit, Pastor. But I ain't coming to see your pinstripe suit. I ain't coming to see what color weed you got today. I ain't coming to see how you got a fried, dyed, and laid to the side. I come to hear the word. I come to get some worship. I want to hear what God has to say. Anybody agree with that? Anybody? So Jesus gave them a parable so they can understand what it was that he was saying. He gave them a parable. That's Luke 13:6 says he told them a parable. Look at this parable. He says a man who had a what? Fig tree. Man that had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He had a fig tree and he planted his fig tree in his vineyard. He had a vineyard and he planted a tree. He had a tree and he planted it in his vineyard. Let me just tell you. I'm going to tell you where I'm going because I want you to get it. So because I can't waste a lot of time today because I want you to come back tomorrow night. Let me tell you. Let me tell you where we are. We have to know. And I say, man, and I want you to come back. Look, the man, the owner of the field, watch me, is God. The fig tree is you and I. Let's look at it again. Verse 6 says, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. God planted us in his garden. God, that's what the privilege of being planted, the privilege of being planted. That's what that is. The God, he gave you and I an opportunity. It is a privilege for me to be planted in his family here. First and foremost, for me to be born. The fact that you are alive and breathing, the fact that you are coughing and sneezing, the fact that you can understand the words that are coming out of my mouth is the fact that God has given you a privilege called life. The fact that you're here, God made you just the way that you are, and God made you when he has something in mind, when he let you come through your parents. See you didn't come to your parents. Oh, no, but God let you come through your parents. No, God sent you through your family. He sent me through the Nesbys. He sent you through the Henleys. He sent you through the Watts. He sent you through the Wigdom or whatever the maiden name. He sent you through your family. God sent you through your family so you can know who it is that you come from. And God put me in this earth realm, and he put me here for a, here it is, he put me here for a purpose. He put me here for a purpose. I'm not an accident. I'm not a whoopsie. I'm none of that. I am here for a purpose, and God has purpose for my life. Short me, God got purpose for me. Tall me, God got purpose for me. Skinny me, God got purpose for me. Thick me, God got purpose for me. Come on here, somebody. It doesn't matter how you are. It doesn't matter what you bring to the table. God have made you just the way that you are. Look at Psalm 139, verse 14. Look what the psalmist says. I praise you. That's your opportunity. The psalmist is saying, God, I praise you. Why am I praising him? For I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. God made you just the way that you are. Just the personality that you have. The mindset you have. Your idiosyncrasies that you have. Your little funnies that you have. The way you do what you do. God made you just the way that you are. He is the potter. We are the clay. And he said we're fearfully and we're wonderfully made. Look what the book says. It says we are the works of his hands. I want to let you know here God has given you the privilege to be planted. He gave me the privilege to be alive and well. So I don't got time to be comparing my life to your life. I don't got time trying to keep up with the Joneses. I don't got time to try to figure out what he said, that she said, that I thought, that I heard. No, God gave purpose for me. God has a work for me. God has a word for me. God got worship for me. Oh, it's in him that I live. It's in him that I move. It's in him that I have my very being. I got to know that I am privileged to be planted. I'm privileged. As we're winding out this year, oh, come on, Grandma, say every year has its number.
Every year has its number. You start seeing deaths and deaths and deaths and deaths. Celebrities, celebrities, celebrities. Family, family, family. Friends and relatives and people you went to school with. Every year has its number. How much so? I think because we get so used to just doing what we do. And we're so desensitized by the things that we watch on television, and we see deaths and murders, and we got news right on our phone, and news just alerts, and something can happen all the way around the world, and we'll be updated instantly. I think sometimes we kind of lose the gravity of death until it comes knocking on our door. I looked up some stats. Look at this. Maybe this may bless you. Look, or at least jar you. Look at these stats as relates to the world's death rate. The world's death rate. Did you know that over 151,600 people die every day? 151,600 people die every day. Did you know that 6,316 people die each hour? Did you know that 105 people die every minute? Did you know that 2 people die each second? Just for us being in worship, 3,600 people have died around the world. What am I saying? All year long, see, you missed your opportunity. All year long, there's been 151,600 people that died, but it ain't me. Oh, come on. I know y'all want to be deep and didactic and all that, but I'm glad that it wasn't me. Come on here, somebody. You got a privilege to being planted. So many people have been going to the cemetery. So many people, they can't find their bodies. So many people have gotten lost at sea and lost here and lost there. But God said that I'm going to privilege you to see another day. Not only to see another day, to see another year. Not only to see another year, but to see another week. Not only to see another week, but to see another month. Not only to see another month, but see another hour and another second. I'm glad that God had given me the privilege to be alive. He gave me a privilege to be alive. Well, I had a pastor friend of mine tells a story of one of his saintly mothers in his church. They were honoring all the saints that have gone on with the Lord, and they were naming this person, naming that person, and say she passed this day and he passed that day. Then they got to one particular mother, call out her name as one of the saints that had went on, and then they heard a faint voice from the back of the church say, "Not yet." Come on, here. They had wrote mama off. They thought mama was gone. Mama back there. Not yet, baby. Come on here. Y'all look at somebody and say, "Not yet, not yet." No, no, the devil thought he had me, but not yet. The devil thought this year was going to take me out, but not yet. He thought that diagnosis was going to take me out, but not yet. He thought that prognosis was going to take me out, but not yet. He thought that bad relationship was going to take me out, but not yet. Look at somebody and say, "Not yet, not yet, not yet." No, he gave me another day. He gave me another year. He gave me another opportunity. Yes, he did. Not yet, not yet. Not yet. I may get out of here, but not yet. I'm not going to die here, but no, I'm going to live and declare the works of the... Let me hurry. That's just, I'm not even done with the first verse. Sit down, y'all. Let me hurry. Let me go. This is the first part of the first verse. This is not even the first verse. The privilege of being planted. The privilege of being born. But secondarily, the privilege of being born again. Not just being born, a lot of folk are alive. But how many, even the numbers get smaller when you think about the people who are born again. When you experience and know the people that have a real relationship with God. Elder Faust, the pastor of Faust Temple Church of God in Christ, he had a saying. He used to say, as they tell me, he had a saying, "I thank the Lord for letting me live. And after being alive, I'm born again." Come on, it's a difference. There's a difference between just being alive. After I'm alive, I'm born again. So you and I have been given this privilege to be in the kingdom of God, a privilege to be in his family. What's privilege? It's a right or an immunity granted as a particular benefit, an advantage, or a favor. I love that definition. It's a privilege. The privilege of being planted. This fig tree, you and I have the privilege of being planted. God has given us the right, the immunity. God has granted us a particular benefit, an advantage to be planted in this earth. But not only be planted in the earth, but to be born again. God gave me, I like to say it this way, he gave me a favor. Let me say it to you this way. Did you know that your 2018 was a favor?
Did you know that all of us are living on borrowed time? Did you know that you shouldn't be here? Don't you sit there and look at me in that tone of voice. Do you know that it could be you? Can you tell it could be you? That they're taking a slow drag down the aisle. Could be you that they drop you in your final resting place. But God gave me a favor. God gave me a favor. He gave me a favor. I want to know, what have you done and what are you doing with your favor? The favor that God gave you called 2018, what did you do with it? Did you waste it? Did you squander it? Or did you take it and make the most out of it? This year we started our year off with something we call Financial Peace University by a brother by the name of Dave Ramsey. He gives you some insight on how to do your money, how to get out of debt, how to pay off your credit cards, how to do all this. But he said a quote just earlier this year that's been in my spirit all year long. Here, you know, when it's something that God speaks to your heart, you know, it'll jar you. It'll take you from here to there. It'll take you from faith to faith. When you get a real word, that thing will stick to your ribs. Listen to this quote that he said: being willing to delay pleasure for a greater result is a sign of maturity. Being willing to delay pleasure. See, children say, I want it. I don't care how much eating all this candy is going to bother me. I don't care how it's going to rot my teeth out. I don't care how it's going to upset my stomach. I want it now. And when they can't get it, they go to pouting because they want what they want, and they want it right now. But the sign of maturity is not me getting gratified. The sign of maturity is not me getting what I want when I want it. But a sign of maturity is saying that I'm willing to delay my personal gratification for a later time, for because I know that God has something more and something better for me. Oh, my God. I know.
What's up, Jacksonville? This is Poetess Black Jewel. I am here to share some exciting news about what's going on at Truth and Love Ministries, located at 1989 Dunn Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida, 32218. Now listen, we want you to save the date, Saturday, May 11th, 2019, for the official launch of Her Story, an empowering women's organization founded by our very own Pastor Camilla Nesbitt. The event will be held at Friday Musicale, located at 645 Oak Street, Jacksonville, Florida, 32204. VIP admission includes dinner and a show. That's right, a show. Prepare to laugh, prepare to cry, prepare to be enlightened, prepare to be inspired, prepare to be empowered, prepare to change. As we debut a powerful and moving stage play titled, Her Story, Breaking the Cycle. VIP dinner will be served at 6 p.m. Tickets are $45. General admission and show only is $35. Showtime is 7 p.m. Seating is